I mean, the devil's a liar,
right? Yes.
And that's one of the areas where he's going to lie. He's going to try to make us think that it's something dirty, that it's something we should be quiet about in terms of speaking about it, you know, as Christians. You know, he wants us to think that it's something to be avoided, because here's the deal. If it can be kept in the dark and pretended like it's something dirty or something that we shouldn't think about much, we shouldn't apply biblical teaching to, then he can have his way with us because we don't inject biblical truth with it. Today's heart song comes from Hebrews 13, verse 4. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterous. Hey, y'all, welcome to today's edition, this week's edition of A Heart for Home, where real life meets deep faith. I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Christy Simpson. What's up, Christy?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, and I'm Ben Simpson here. It's so good to be with you. You know, it's been so neat to just get the feedback that we've gotten on this podcast. It's something simple, but it's something we've wanted to do for a long time, and so we really hope that it's being a blessing to people.
Sure, yeah, we've been really excited about this for actually several years, so but we hope that you guys are able to get some things out of it and maybe laugh along the way.
We've been doing a lot of laughing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of fun, really, to do this. And, you know, the more times we spend with other folks and other couples, we just see the importance of this. You know,
sure,
as we've said
yeah.
before, the home is under attack. You know, we see that particularly, you know, the devil wants to attack parent-child relationships. The devil wants to attack our finances. But he also wants to attack the marriage, the husband and wife relationship. And so that's why it's so important for us to spend time talking about these things. So
absolutely. And I think that, you know, Satan knows if he can get his foot in any of those areas in our life, then he's really starting to win us over.
Oh yeah.
And so he knows. So thankfully that God is victorious in all these things, and we're given wisdom in Scripture on each of these areas.
So what's been going on at the Simpson House? What's been the highlight of this past week?
Oh, the highlight. Wow. Well, we have just been enjoying summer. Thankfully, it was a great week weather-wise. So we've been able to get outside and enjoy some water parks lately.
Oh, yeah.
And that's been exciting. The kids are loving that. Enjoying some creek time with some friends. We're starting to gather with friends just in small groups. And so that's been really good to be able to do that, just to get together with other people and enjoy God's nature.
My highlight this week has been our blackberries have finally come into season. They're ripe.
Yes.
We've been picking a ton of blackberries. At this point, we've probably picked 4 or 5 gallons off of our blackberries. And Christy made the other night, y'all. I don't mean to brag. I don't mean to cause you to be jealous or anything like that. All right. She made the other night the perfect blackberry cobbler. It was so good. It was so good. With some vanilla ice cream, so that's been a big highlight. But hey, we say that this podcast is where real life meets deep faith, and it's not been an easy week either, because guess what? The washer went down. The washer
yes,
broke.
And that's bad news in our house, because the washer goes down, especially in the midst of creek playing and puddle playing and just a lot of playing outside. That means we have a lot of wet clothes. We've got dirty, wet, muddy clothes. You know how it is. So, yeah.
7 people. I mean, laundry is a big deal. But praise God. I mean, really, when you think about it, that washer lasted for 10 years.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's to the point that we can't fix it. We've got to get a new one. But 10 years. And if it had like an hour meter on it for how many hours, you know, like you, on a lawnmower, you have an hour gauge. It tells you how many hours you've actually mowed with that thing. If there was an hour gauge on our washer, it would be thousands
yes.
of hours.
Yes. I am so thankful. You know, sometimes we just take for granted when we push those buttons that they're going to start, and sometimes they don't. And so, but I'm thankful for the 10 years that we've had with that washer, because it has saved me many hours of whatever.
That's right. It's been good. So we'll get to welcome a new one in soon. But you know, the hard thing is with this COVID stuff, like it's going to be almost a month until
that's
it actually comes in.
That's a long time for us.
Everybody's out. But anyway,
yes.
We'll get by.
Yeah.
Deep faith, right?
Deep faith.
Real life,
real life
meets deep faith. Praise God.
Put into the test right here.
I'll praise you in the storm. And I'll look over my pile of laundry.
Absolutely. On our way to the laundromat. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. Well, tell me, where are we going to go today in our podcast here? a heart for home. Again, we try each week to go to a different room and use that room as a sort of a metaphor to talk about where real life meets deep faith, to help us understand life and then to bring faith into that. So which room are we going to today?
All right. Well, today, Ben, we are going to the bedroom.
No way.
Yes, we are.
Now, two things just happened right when you said that. Somebody just turned us off.
Absolutely, probably.
They turned the podcast off right away, or they turned it up.
There you go. Either or. I'll take
one
it.
One or the other. You know, when you think about the bedroom, it's such an important thing. As Scripture, as our heart song said today, let marriage be held in high honor. That's from Hebrews 13:4. Let marriage be held in high honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. And so when you think about the idea of the bedroom, it is sort of metaphoric, what's synonymous with marriage itself, because it's in that marriage relationship where we do get to experience the fullest of intimacy between a man and a woman.
Certainly, yes. And so we thought this would be a really important topic to cover as we enter the bedroom, to just go ahead and just start talking about sex right away, just because it's so important for so many ways. And we're going to learn that today.
Yeah. So five things that we've really just thought about, prayed about, and these are sort of more overview sort of things. All right. There'll be time in the future to dig into some specific aspects of the bedroom. But today we just want to just give a general theology for life, for the bedroom, for marriage, intimacy, sexual intimacy. And so there are several things to think about. And the first thing I want to think about today for us and our listeners is first that sex is a gift from God that should be celebrated and enjoyed between a husband and a wife, right? Praise God.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks be to God.
Yeah, so this isn't something, you know, so often when you think about sex, and particularly when I think about growing up, you know, there was this idea, and I don't know how it got in there, but that sex was something that was dirty. And maybe you, and when you were growing up, maybe you heard that sort of thing or kind of caught that sort of thing. Did you kind of hear that?
Yeah, and it was just something that I didn't want to hear anything about. Not even as I got older, like, oh no, my parents would not do that. So I just wanted to avoid it completely because I thought it all sounded wrong. So I just think it's important for us to have good, solid teaching on what it is and the beauty in what God has created it for it to be.
Well, I mean, it just goes back to the devil's a liar.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And then that's one of the areas where he's going to lie. He's going to try to make us think that it's something dirty, that it's something we should be quiet about in terms of speaking about it, you know, as Christians. You know, he wants us to think that it's something to be avoided, because here's the deal. If it can be kept in the dark and pretended like it's something dirty or something that we shouldn't think about much, we shouldn't apply biblical teaching to, then he can have his way with us because we don't inject biblical truth with it.
Right, right. And therefore, we don't live in the freedom of God's word within that concept.
That's right.
of sex, this particular thing.
So today we're going to bring the scripture to bear on this topic. So it is a gift from God. And two things that we say in this first point here is that it is to be celebrated, right?
Sure.
It's something, again, we're not being flippant about this. We're not kissing and telling. So when we say celebrated, we're not meaning that you're flaunting your sexuality. I mean, that's ungodly, right? That's immodest.
Right. Sure.
But what we're talking about here is that it's something that couples should delight in, particularly a husband and wife. It should be something that they're happy about, right? It's something that should be enjoyed. And that's the second thing, is that it truly is something to enjoy. But you know, here's the thing. In this fallen age, sex is one of those things that just, it's gotten so twisted in so many different ways. What are some of the ways that you think of that sex kind of gets twisted in our day and age?
Well, it gets twisted in that I think that we think that we can, I don't know, people can think that they can just have it whenever and with whomever at whatever age and whatever, you know, outside of the marriage bed. And it can just get really, really difficult. That's when we become in a lot more problems.
Yes.
When we have sex outside of marriage. Therefore, that's why God has a created order to have sex within marriage.
Yeah. And so, particularly when you think about the bounds, I mean, God has given it to us as a gift, but he's given us instructions and he's given us boundaries so that we rightly enjoy that. You think about a lot of things. The metaphor that's always used is a fire, right? So a fire in a house gives warmth and you know, it gives joy to look at it and see the crackle and all those things. So it brings a lot of good as long as it stays within the bounds of the fireplace. But once that fire is put out in the middle of the living room floor, that fire becomes deadly. It becomes dangerous because at that point it's going to burn the house down. And so sex is a gift from God, just like fire is a gift from God within particular bounds, all right? So we got to think about that. We've got to rightly characterize what sex is, and it is a gift from God to be celebrated between a man and a woman, between a husband and a wife. And in this day and age, we have to define that because there's a lot of, as it said there in Hebrews chapter 13, it talked about sexual immorality, amongst people. For God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterous. So right there are areas that you can already see where things can get out of bounds, all right? So it's a gift to be enjoyed within the bounds that he has given it. He's the gift giver,
sure.
And so he's the bounds maker.
Right.
He set those boundaries, and it's for our good. That's
sure.
One of the things,
thankfully.
Honestly, you know, we think, again, that's one of the lies from the devil, is that sex is better if we get outside of the bounds that he set. And the truth of the matter is, it is not. It is not. It is way better within the bounds that God has set. But there's something else to think about that with our second thing here. And what would you say our second thing is?
Sure.
Today?
I think our second thing is that sex is something we should not be ashamed of within those bounds of marriage that you're talking about. So Genesis 2:25 says they were both naked and were not ashamed. So before the fall, before sin actually entered the world, sex was a huge part of the created order. And I believe that they were not ashamed, and I believe that it was good. It was very good. There was no inhibition between man and woman. I believe it was shared freely without shame between a man and a woman.
Yeah, there was an innocence to it, right?
Sure, yeah.
And yes, post-fall, we're post-fall now. So while there are things where it can be twisted and all those things, there should still be an innocence to it where husband and wife, when they are intimate together, when they're naked with one another, there's no shame in that.
Sure, and that would be a way that Satan could also try to put himself in between a man and a woman, a husband and wife, is if you start to bring shame in there. And there should not be shame.
Yeah, I mean, and when you think about it, again, I don't know, you know, I don't want to generalize here, but from what I've read and conversations that we've had over the years, typically it tends to be women who
sure.
tend to be more ashamed, right? They're not comfortable with their bodies or whatever else.
Right. And, you know, I know people, I have had friends that have had issues with that. And there, you know, there could be some hindrances in that, in wanting, desiring sex with their husband or allowing their husband to just be able to be free with them. And I think, and just being able to enjoy it. And just in
right,
general.
Right.
So, because I'm not going to enjoy something that I'm going to be ashamed of. I'm just not. It's going to be a checklist. It's going to be, oh my gosh, do I have to do this? I'm dreading it. I would dread it all day, you know. And that's just not what God has planned for us. So
No. He
is a far greater God who loves us so much more than that. So,
that's right.
But he wants us to enjoy it and to be free with our bodies, with our husbands, and be able to not be ashamed of who we are and how he's created us.
Yeah, so when you think about sex itself, sex between a husband and wife, is as holy as praying with a, you know, together as a husband and wife. Okay, so when you think about that, it's truly nothing to be ashamed of. Now, again, it's not to be flaunted, it's not to be put out in public, it's not a kiss and tell, it's not a voyeurism and all that stuff.
Sure.
Okay, but it's private, but at the same time, there's nothing to be ashamed of. The third thing I think about though is the purpose of it. As we think about what God has revealed to us in Scripture, the purpose of sex, I think about a fourfold purpose. So sex has a fourfold purpose. The first one is companionship. When you think about that idea in the garden, you know, it said that Adam, Adam was there, it was all good and all that, but there was one thing that was wrong. God said that it's not good that Adam was alone. Now, he had God, he had all the animals, but he didn't have a companion. He didn't have a wife. And so in that moment, God said, it's not good for him to be alone, so I'm going to create a companion for him. And even in that first time when God created Eve, brought Eve to Adam, he said, bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And then Scripture goes there and says, because of that, a man and woman, you know, come together and they become one flesh. And there's that idea of that sexual union that's there. And in that moment, it's companionship. So when you think about it, so often some of the Christian tradition has kind of missed this part. They put so much emphasis on procreation, having children, that they've missed the companionship part. But it's an important part of companionship.
Sure. Yeah, it is an important part of companionship, because as we come together, then we are more united and we're more one. And I just like you better then.
That's right. Praise God. Praise God on that one. But we don't want to discount the second purpose of sex, and that is procreation.
Sure.
It is for children. You know, that's how God, you know, God could have done it a lot of different ways, all right, for us to have babies, to make babies, okay? But he decided to do it through the act of sex. And so it's a very important thing that we do with that. So I really think about God when he said, be fruitful and multiply. That's what he said. So actually, God just gave us the green light, gave husbands and wives the green light to have a lot of sex.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have a lot of children, so we get a lot of comments about this particular verse. In fact, one of my favorite was, you know, there are other verses in the Bible to start living out. A friend of ours one time was like, you know, I think you guys are still stuck on that verse when we were having babies every 2 years. But anyways.
Yeah. So companionship, procreation. But third, we think about protection. Like,
sure.
We think about the purpose of sex itself is protection. And when we say protection, we're talking about what?
We're talking about the protection of our hearts.
Yeah.
And for each other and for God. Because when we are in protection and God is first in our lives, then he allows that freedom in our marriage, and it's in the bounds of that marriage.
Yeah, so sex is one of those things that's kind of like an appetite, right? It's kind of like your hunger, all right? You have a physical hunger for food. God has placed inside of us a physical hunger for sexual intimacy. And so one of the things is that if a husband and wife don't have a good relationship and don't understand this purpose of regular sex, powerful sex, you know, then it's easy for husbands and wives to begin to lust after other folks, or to begin to maybe be tempted with pornography or things like that. And so sex is a protection. You know, it's one of those things that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it talks about, you know, being regular in sex so that you're not tempted, so that you don't burn with passion for other people. So it's really important to protect. And each couple has to decide. We'll talk here in a moment about frequency on that. But it really is important when thinking about that. How often do you need it? Well, one of the things that goes into that is how hungry are you for it? Okay? And it's important for you to think about that. But finally, the fourth purpose in that fourfold purpose of sex is God's glory. I mean, when you and your spouse make love, you're actually glorifying God. Think about that. Maybe you've never thought about it on that level. I know you and I have, but maybe our listeners have never thought about it on that level, that you are actually glorifying God in the act of sex.
Sure, and I think it kind of takes away the chore of it, like, oh, do I have to? If I know that I'm bringing glory to God, then it just puts it on a different level, I think, for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the fourfold purpose. The fourth thing, though, that we thought about here, we wanted to share with our listeners today, is what?
Is that sex should be something that should be regular by a married couple. So it should be something that we do often. And you just mentioned 1 Corinthians 7:5, that we should have sex regularly just to protect our hearts from lust for other people.
And that scripture says what?
Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer. But then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And, you know, it's a neat thing that this is in the Bible, because, you know, God knows that we're going to have a lack of self-control. He knows. He's given us hormones in our bodies. You know, the human body is just amazingly created, every intricate detail. And he knows that we're going to have a lack of self-control. So therefore, he's given us sex within marriage to help us with that temptation.
Yeah, and so how often, when you think of, and we, that's one of the questions we often get is, well, how often should a man and woman have sex? Should a husband and wife have sex? And the answer is there's no biblical prescription for that as far as a number.
Right.
We can't say once a week, once a month.
That's between you and your spouse. But it should be something that you guys.
Once an hour.
Jeez. Oh, Lord. We better end this show. But it should be something that you guys talk about. You know, that is shared between you two. You know, how often, what is best for you guys, and what works for your marriage.
Yeah, so a couple of principles, you know, to kind of think through there. Is that you really do have to think, you have to think again about your appetite for it. And that ebbs and flows.
You know, there are various seasons of life will be different, you know.
And like you said, hormonal levels change, go up and down. That's for man and woman. You know, men particularly, you know, in their early stages of marriage are have much stronger appetites for it than they do maybe later on. And it kind of, it's neat how God actually did this. Where it men's appetite typically wanes over the course of their lifetime a bit, and women's actually kind of grows over the course of their lifetime. It's really neat. So God did it in such a way that there's always that desire. He keeps it going.
He could do that. Absolutely.
Yeah, only he could do that. So that's what you do when you think about the number. That's the real key thing there, how often. And you and your spouse, you know, again, you don't have to sit down with a formula.
Sure.
You know, as far as that goes. But you have a general rule that you guys agree on.
Right.
But the main thing is that you agree with one another.
Right.
That's what
that
the scripture says.
It's a mutual thing. Sure. That's what the Bible says. That's not what we say. So you have to, that you have a mutual agreement on what is best for you two.
So it's not a bargaining chip.
It's not making deals.
That's right.
You just do this for me, I'll do this for you kind of thing.
But the final thing we wanted to say about it today in this edition of A Heart for Home is that sex is an act of service, all right? And when you think about the Christian life for just a moment here, you know, the Christian life itself is a life of service. And Jesus made this clear. He was talking with his disciples, and they were talking about who's great and who's not great and all those things. And Jesus had some very poignant teaching for them. He said this, Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be a servant. And whoever would be first among you must be a slave for all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now that's life in general. That's the Christian life. The Christian life is a life of service. And so that means that spills over into the bedroom. That a husband and wife are to approach sex as an act of service to the other one. And so that's a different approach, because oftentimes the world would say it's an act of what?
Well, they would say that it's begrudgery. You know, it's just a chore.
It's a chore. Yes. Or they could say, what can I get out of this?
Sure. Yeah.
It's a
What's
selfish
in it for me?
Act instead of a service act. It can often be a selfish act. And so that's the key there. You know, good sex within marriage is an act of service itself. And, you know, maybe in the future we can get into more about that when we come back to the bedroom, what that looks like. But it certainly means that the husband is to look out for the pleasure of his wife.
Right.
And the wife is to
do the same thing.
Look out for the pleasure of her husband. And that's
it's not always easy. It's not always easy.
It's not always easy, but it's
beautiful. But it's
beautiful.
Great to see it worked out in Scripture and see it in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what we were thinking here. You know, when God says, let marriage be held in high honor among all, sex is a very important part of marriage.
Right.
Now, it's not the thing that defines marriage. It's that covenant that defines marriage, what makes marriage marriage. All right, but it's a very important part of marriage, and we should think biblically about it. We should enjoy it, and it's one of those things that God has given us as a gift. And so today, as you guys are listening to this podcast, we hope that you've been encouraged. We hope that you didn't blush too much. You know, it's one of those things
hopefully
that we have
you guys
to
were able to listen to it together, so maybe that'll help.
Yeah, husbands, go get your wives and say, hey, you got to hear this. Or wives, go get and say, you got to hear this. You know, because again, God has given it to us as a gift, and he's given us instructions. And today what we've shared with you are biblical truths about sex. So we hope you've enjoyed thinking about the bedroom today here at A Heart for Home, where real life meets deep faith.